Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
Well, we're going to talk about sowing and reaping today, and it's very important for us that we don't have a misunderstanding of the harvest, and hopefully we won't. Because there is this principle that Paul packs into this nearly last section of the book, that he talks about spiritually sowing and spiritually harvesting, and he wants to make sure that the people he's writing to understand this. And God wants to make sure that you and I understand this as well. Will you pick it up in verse 6? We'll read verses 6 through 10. Follow along in your copy of the Bible. And if you need one, there's some in the seat backs in front of you. It's the brown volume. You're welcome to borrow one of ours. Verse 6, Galatians 6. Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Sowing and reaping. The principle of sowing and reaping should be that which guides our behavior in our lives every single day. And we're just going to unpack this simple truth. It's not particularly complicated, but it is particularly beneficial for us to understand what this means. And I'm just going to break this apart into three sections. First of all, we're going to talk about how to sow. How does sowing work? What is sowing? Well, I want to pull out three words that you see in these few verses that we see together, and it gives us the parameters of what sowing means in Paul's definition. In verse 6, let him who is taught in the word share in all good things. You see it there? Verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. It's very obvious that what Paul is talking about in sowing seeds and sowing the right thing, it is doing good things in the world and in the lives of the people that are around us. And of course, if you go right back up the page and into chapter 5, that was the end of chapter 5 about walking in the Spirit and what the Spirit will produce in us. And if you look down in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, here's the word, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is one of the things that the Spirit should be producing in us. And Paul is reminding us, if we are going to be sowing the right thing, if we're going to be reaping the right kind of harvest, it is our responsibility to choose to do good in every venue and every avenue of life. So, first of all, I just share three things about this how to sow, how to do good. First of all, you will pick what you plant. You will pick what you plant. You know very well in the agricultural world, if you take a watermelon seed and you stick it in the ground, and if it germinates and grows, and when it produces a fruit, when it produces a crop, a harvest, it's not going to produce some other vegetable. It's going to produce what it is all about. It's going to produce a watermelon. So you will pick what you plant. Now, I'm going to actually come back to verse 6 toward the end because I want to package it together with verse 10. But I want you to call your attention down to verse 7. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Now, the fact that he says those two things indicates that, A, it's possible to be deceived, and it is possible to mock God. He says, don't be deceived that you can think that you can plant one thing and get another. No, you pick what you plant. Whatever it is you invest in, whatever it is you give, you're going to receive that kind of a harvest. Don't be deceived on this. Don't think you can plant one thing and get another thing. Don't think, in fact, I'm not going to recommend this. This is just an illustration, but you can imagine with me, okay? If you want someone to be kind and loving and respectful to you, and you just treat them with all kinds of harshness and you just give them a tongue lashing every time you see them, are you going to be likely to get a harvest of good back from them? It doesn't work that way. You can't do one thing and get another result, especially in the spiritual realm. It says, and God is not mocked. It means, that basically means to turn your nose up at God. to act like this doesn't apply to you. And that's basically what I think Paul is saying. Don't act like this, somehow you get a pass on this. Don't act like this doesn't mean you. We need to mentally write our names in the text of Scripture. And when it talks about sowing and reaping, this means us. You can't get around it. This is not optional. This is not escapable. So do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now he talks a little bit about that reaping in verse 8. He says, For he who sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption. If you want to know what that looks like, you go back to chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. We've already looked at it, but let's look at it briefly again. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The key here is living in dependence on the Spirit. And then he goes into this list about what the lust of the flesh looks like, what the natural man, apart from Christ, without God in control, what we as humans typically and naturally do. Some of them he talks about in verse 19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. You're almost exhausted to go through the list of all of that stuff. He says, if you give yourself, if you sow to the flesh, if you choose to act that way and you don't depend on the Spirit, what are you going to get in return? You will pick what you plant. You will, it says there in verse number 8, reap corruption, rottenness, that which fades away. In their day, in the agricultural world in which they lived in, maybe a little closer to agriculture, you understand that you had to preserve the harvest. You had to preserve the crop. You had to get it to the barn or get it to however you're going to preserve it. You wanted that to last until it could make a return on the investment, whether that was grain for next year's planting or for you and your family to eat or to sell the surplus and have monetary income. Those are the things that you could do with that kind of a return. He says it's going to be corrupt. It's not going to last. It's just going to fade away. Now he turns it completely upside down with this contrast in verse 8. Look at it. But he who sows to the Spirit... It goes back to that walking in the Spirit and so forth. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Will of the Spirit reap everlasting life? Now, this is a good place to understand a principle here, and I want you to really get this. It's very dangerous just to zoom in and pull one verse out and build something on one verse alone. It has to fit into the greater context. Because if you just read this verse, divorced from the rest of the book of Galatians or the Bible in general, it would say, well, okay, so if I... So in the Spirit, then I will have everlasting life. So I can be saved by doing good stuff, right? Wrong. In fact, time and time and time again, in fact, the whole book is written to tear down that argument. You remember, the legalists were saying, it's okay to be saved by God's grace and faith, but if you really want to be spiritual, you have to do it yourself. You have to do all these works, these do's and don'ts. And there are some who take that legalism to the extreme and say, well, we earn God's favor by being good enough. He tears that down time and time again. No, we needed a Savior. We needed the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross, which He did, to pay sin's price. And He says we receive that, from our point of view, through faith. Grace through faith. So what is He talking about when He's talking about everlasting life? You've got to compare that with the corruption He mentions earlier in the verse. If you sow the flesh, it's not going to last. If you sow to the Spirit, it's going to last into eternal life. It's going to continue on. You see, these kind of rewards, not that they are exclusive of this life we're living. God does let us enjoy benefits of many things of harvest in this life. But the ultimate reward is going to last on and be fully expressed in eternity. That's the harvest time. That's when all things are good and said and done. So he says, if you sow in the Spirit, you will have this everlasting life quality about it. Now, I want to take you back to one more verse in chapter 5, the last verse, next to the last verse, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Because I want to make sure we make this connection, because this all flows from this discussion in the end of 5 about walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit. I want to take you back one more time, and this probably is the last time I've shown this to you, and I've shown it to you many times, as I would love for this just to settle into our hearts and find a place of rest there. And this is simply my definition, attempted to define what it means to live a life of faith. A life of faith, which is synonymous with walking in the Spirit, is an active, thoughtful, releasing confidence that God is present and at work. And we need to assimilate that and put that into place in our lives moment by moment, moment by moment. That life of faith is active. God's involved in every aspect of life. And it's thoughtful. I need to claim the promises of God. I need to think scripturally. And then it's a releasing confidence. Lord, this is you. You got this. You're big enough. You're strong enough. You're wise enough. I put this on you. As I believe that you're here right now with me and in me and around me and before me and after me, you're all over this. You're here now, present tense, and you're at work on my behalf and on behalf of what you want to accomplish in this world. So that sowing and reaping and sowing in the Spirit all goes back to this concept of a constant awareness of the presence of God and a confidence that He's at work right here in our world and in our lives, okay? So that's what he's referring to. Now, a couple more things. If you just think in general terms about harvesting, if you go back to verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that will he also reap. Into verse 8, he will reap everlasting life. Second principle about how to sow, you pick what you plant. Secondly, you pick more than you plant. You pick more than you plant. Isn't it an amazing thing? And some of you are gardeners and you plant things and grow things. Some of you just go to the grocery store and pull it off the produce aisle. Okay, so, but it all comes from someone planting and someone harvesting. Okay, we understand that. But you take a kernel of corn and plant it in the ground and it grows. And even a modest stock of corn, 2-3 ears of corn, and rather than having one little kernel of corn, it has a whole bunch of. Has a whole bunch of corns on it, right? Someone told me this morning, no, it's kernels. You don't say corns on a cob, but I've never eaten kernel on a cob, have you? I've eaten corn on a cob, so I'm just going to say that. You have all these little corns on there. You'll remember that better anyway. But one produces a harvest that is greater than the one. This is the great thing about sowing the right thing, sowing in the Spirit, doing good to in every venue of life. As you sow it, the harvest is going to be more than you plant. Isn't that a great thing? And lastly, this is important, you always pick after you plant. Well, that seems really obvious. Well, when you think about it in life, sometimes we want everything now. Lord, just fix this now, change this now. I want an instant solution now. But you got to plant before you harvest. You got to plant before you pick after you plant, so I want to say. So we need to make the choices in life that we're going to plant those things that are good. He mentions it 3 times. That we're going to choose to do good in all of the venues of life. With God's help, walking in dependence on the Spirit, that He is present and He's at work. And as we do, after the fact, somewhere down the road, there will be a harvest. And I've already talked once about it, and I'll say it just again. And sometimes that harvest waits even after this life of what He's ultimately going to do, obviously. So, that's how to sow. Let's talk about when to sow. When do we sow? Well, I've already got the answer in front of you. It's always. It's ongoing. It's unending. And that takes us down to the next verse, verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let us not grow weary while doing good. You see, God wants us to continue on sowing good in this world. By the way, it is a rare and precious commodity in this world. I don't know about you, and maybe I'm just getting old and grouchy or something, but it just seems like the world gets nastier and more cold and mean and hateful and ugly the longer I live on this planet. It just seems like I don't see much love and brotherhood and joy and happiness and contentment. You see a whole lot of other stuff. Here's the great opportunity for us. If we are people who sow that which is good, it stands out against a backdrop of ugly in a remarkable ways. And people say, you know what, I'm sick of all this. I want something better. And the better is the Lord Jesus Christ and what He offers us in a relationship and a walk with Him. It comes right back to that. So the world growing dark, it just makes the light seem all the much brighter, and God gives us that opportunity. If we will be people who do good, plant the right things in that sort of way. Now, so when to sow? Always, obviously. Sow even when you get weary. Even when you get weary. Paul gives reference that it's possible to get weary. And let's not grow weary while doing good. I mean, even doing the right thing sometimes will wear you out, it seems to us. But what we are called to do is to continue to plant seeds of goodness. Now, this is a little risky, what I'm about to do, because I don't want to ruin your jolly mood that you're in, okay? But probably every one of us have somewhere, something, someone in life that we are either weary with or we're on the verge of being weary with. I'm just tired of dealing. It might just be a circumstance of life that just, it's just a burden you bear. What do? You keep sowing that which is good. And ultimately, God's going to finish whatever He intends with that, and there'll be a harvest on the other side. Maybe it's on the other side when we're with Him in glory. But for some of us, that growing weary is someone. If that person I work with, if that person that's, you know, I know, if they would just, I'm tired of being nice to them. All I get is grief and hurt and trouble. I've had it up to my eyeballs with this. I just want to quit. I want to stop. Then this verse is for you. Paul says this: don't grow weary in well doing. You just keep sowing. You just keep doing, and in due season, you will reap a harvest. Now, you have to understand this, that sometimes even doing good, you don't always immediately get good back for that person. Sometimes you can do the best thing for somebody, and you just get hatefulness back. You get evil back. But you know what? The great God before whom we live and serve and sees all, He sees that seed being planted. And it might not grow in exactly the time frame that you see fit, but somehow in His greater economy, there's going to be a harvest. If we just don't quit, don't grow weary. Now, for some of us, what we're most weary with is not somebody else. We're most weary with ourselves. You ever just get weary with yourself? You ever just get weary, like, am I ever gonna grow up? Am I ever going to get over them? Am I going to just have to keep apologizing for the same thing over and over and over again? And we get weary with ourselves. We get weary with, because we're not. The thing is, harvest time for what God, if you're a believer now, the harvest time for what God is doing in us, it's not harvest time. But in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Now, He's going to continue to work on us. He's going to continue to develop us. He's going to continue to allow the Spirit to control us more than we have. But ultimately, when He's done with us, when we see Him as He is, we're going to be remade in character, just like the pattern of Jesus Christ Himself. Don't go weary even with yourself. Now, we need to keep doing good. We need to keep serving. We need to keep doing those things. So, not only sow when you get weary, sow until harvest comes. And it will come someday. You see, here's the key to the harvest. Here's the key to a big harvest. Here's the key to a spiritually rewarding harvest. Here's the key to an eternally lasting harvest. You just keep sowing, doing the good things that God calls us to do. And in due season, you reap. You know, it may not be due season for the harvest, but it is always season for us to do good to those that are around us. That's what God calls us to do. Now, I understand sometimes doing good does not just mean we always just smile and happy. And sometimes you got to confront things, you got to deal with things. But even in the confrontation, there is the desire to help this person, to do good, to bring them along to a place that's better than they are. Someone told me after the early service, they said, you know, I just get tired of dealing with just all the junk in life. And he was talking about what we talked about, and he said, but you know, it just seems like everywhere I look, there's just somebody just, you know, doing the wrong thing. And I said to my friend, I said, you know, all I can say is this, and when I get it right, and so I don't always get it right, but when I get it right, if I can just think, you know what, that's just an indication that that person either needs the Lord or needs to start living for the Lord. That's all that means. And I said, and that brings you back. And if you're living for the Lord, trying to live for the Lord, give thanks that you have it and I have it better than we deserve. And it just changes the whole parameter. When you view people, you know, when lost people act like lost people, we shouldn't be shocked by that. We might grieve over that. We know something's better is available if they would embrace Christ, but we shouldn't be shocked by that. So just keep sowing until the harvest comes, and don't quit, don't stop. Well, let's talk about where to sow. Let's talk about where to sow. That is verse 6, and that is verse 10. He gets into the specifics of it. But remember, just so you don't forget, I want to make sure I get all the strings attached and tied up in a tight bundle this morning. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that will he also reap. If you sow the flesh, what's he say? Corruption. If you sow the spirit, everlasting life. Don't quit doing that. Don't grow weary in well-doing. In due season we will reap. And then the end of verse 9, I should have already referenced that. If we do not lose heart. If you don't just pass out, if you don't just give out, if you can just keep going and doing good, the harvest indeed will come. Let's talk about where to sow. Where is that? We sow everywhere. There's no venue that sowing good into the world and into lives and into experiences is not appropriate. Now you go back to verse 6. He talks about this. He says this. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. He's simply telling and reminding these churches in Galatia, if you're receiving the ministry of the Word of God, you give to support the work so that the teacher of the Word can have the freedom to spend his time teaching the Word. It's supporting those who are in ministry. Now, you have to understand, to the Judaizers, to those that were trying to bring legalism back into these churches, and the Jewish concept, this was a totally unheard of thing. Because if you were a son of Abraham, if you were a Jew living in Israel, the priests and all of the religious hierarchy, and by the way, the government and the spiritual realm were all one and the same. This concept that we live under where the state is one thing and the church is another thing is relatively new in human experience. So the ruling elite was also the spiritual ruling elite in their day. So the way the priests got paid, it came out of your taxes. What you were required to pay, what the law demanded you pay. There was no voluntary, oh, I've been taught the word, I've received this wonderful thing, I want to support and give back and do something good. So when he writes this, this was probably like, what? This is novel. But that's the way the church functions, that's the way our church functions, and it gives me the opportunity to say thank you for the way you care for those of us that receive support financially and also our missionaries around the world. Thank you for your faithful giving. As we put money into the offering, that is part of doing good. That's fulfilling the command of Galatians 6:6. And there's many other verses that talk about that. That's doing good. So we first of all, where do we sow? We do good to the servants of God. To the servants of God, those that are ministering the Word of God. Now, go down to verse 10. He bookends it with sort of the application. He's already talked about, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. Sow in the Spirit. Don't grow weary. Harvest will come. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. That's pretty encompassing, isn't it? We do good to all. And notice this key little phrase tucked in here, as we have opportunity. By the way, that is not an escape clause. That's a promise that you are going to have opportunity. Well, I just didn't have any opportunity to do good today. No. He says, as you have those opportunities, and they are coming, they are rolling at you all the time, as you have opportunities, do good to all men. Well, not all men, Pastor, deserve it. Yeah, that might be true from our point of view. And you didn't deserve a God that put up with your mess and my mess either, right? You don't deserve God giving His Son, let alone all the other attendant blessings that He gives us as believers. So we need to get away from that. But you're going to have opportunity. You're going to have opportunity to do good to everyone. There's no one excluded from this. And sometimes it's just, you know, it's just the expression you put on your face when you encounter people. It's what you can do sometimes behind the scenes without anybody knowing. What you can do to help and to be an encouragement. And to be there for people. Just to do good. Look for the opportunity. That's the key. Now, here's the key for today. Today. You're going to have an opportunity. You might have an opportunity before you leave this building to do some good. I guarantee you, before the day gets out and you shut it down and, you know, crawl into your comfy bed and pull the comforter up over you and get all warm and toasty and go off to a night of slumber, you're going to have the opportunity to do some good to somebody in your life, in your world. Opportunities are all around. And then he heightens it one more notch. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Isn't that a beautiful thing? The way to describe the body of believers, the group of believers, the flock, if you will, the congregation. The household of faith. Those people that also know Christ as Savior, we have this bond as brothers and sisters in Christ. I love the song that Amy sang this morning, just before the message. You know, how beautiful when you know, talking about God's people and God's family being together. It is a beautiful thing. Do good to all of them. He says, you know, it's kind of odd to say, do good to everyone as you have opportunity. Well, that's already included the believers. But then he just to give you an extra highlight, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Go out of your way. Take the extra step. Take the initiative of someone who's a brother. I found a quote. This actually comes from 1853, so it's way back, from a pastor by the name of John Brown. Now, that's not the John Brown that, you know, raided the armory at Harper's Ferry. Okay, this is another John Brown. But here's his quote talking about this, just doing good. He said, "Every poor and distressed man has a claim on me for pity, and if I can afford it, for active exertion and relief. But a poor Christian has a far stronger claim on my feelings, my labors, my property. He is my brother, equally interested as myself in the blood and love of the Redeemer. I expect to spend eternity with him in heaven. He is the representative of my unseen Savior, and he considers everything done to this poor afflicted as done to himself. For a Christian to be unkind to a Christian is not only wrong, it is monstrous." Wow. I think Pastor Brown of all those years ago got it right, that we are to treat each other with special love and special deference and do good to all of those who are around. All right, let's quickly refresh ourselves and get back to where we need to be, and then we'll give one final push and we'll be done. All right? We are to simply this, keep on sowing good in this world by the choices we make, the words we say, the actions we take, or the words and actions we withhold. We do that in the power of the Spirit. This is still part of walking the Spirit, leaning on Him. He says, don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't quit. Don't stop. As long as you don't quit, as long as you don't come to this place where we just stop, lose heart, we will see a harvest yet coming. Keep sowing. And you do that to the servants of God. You do that to everyone because you're going to have opportunity to do it. And especially those who are part of the family of God. Do good to them. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, maybe there's been a long string of events that have connected to this moment and this point. If you need to trust the Savior, Pastor Tim, Pastor Adam will be at the front. I will as well. We'd be glad to share with you, talk to you, pray with you, whatever you need. And that's not only true here when we have this time to invite you, but it's true anytime that's available. For those of us who know the Lord, I think that's a powerful reminder that let's not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you give us to just come before you and during these moments together understand that we need to sow some seeds of goodness today. Lord, let that be our motto. Let that be our goal today as believers, that we would sow some seeds of goodness in the world today. We'll let you make all the connections. We'll let you produce the harvest. We will give you the thanks and the praise. And Lord, we pray for anyone that may be with us today that does not know you as Savior. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. And if we at this moment could help and point them and lead them to the Savior, Lord, we stand ready to have that conversation or that time of prayer, whatever is needed. So we thank you, Lord, for the way you're at work. Help us to show some seeds of your goodness today. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.